Well, hello. How are you? It feels great to be back, doesn't it? It's been a while. I took a little break there from Person of Interest, and now I feel really happy to be back, and especially to share our guest today's story. His name is Christian Gosvick. He's from the Cincinnati tri-state area. And let's see, he did his undergrad at Xavier, and then he went to UC for med school, and now he's a practicing PCP for the Christ Hospital. And most specifically, he serves the geriatric community in the tri-state. He's a young guy. He's 31 years old. And I must keep in mind, you guys, that all of us will one day be 70, 80, 90 years old and need care. And that is exactly what he does. And not only that, he fosters a community through advocacy, storytelling, and community building for the geriatric community through his work and through the foundation that he and his husband, Cody, started called the Giving Voice Foundation. And that's what we're here today to talk about. The Giving Voice Foundation is pretty epic. It serves the geriatric community, and also their most recent event coming up is called Mimosas for Memories, and that's happening Saturday, April 30th from 11 to 2 p.m. at the University Club, and you can get your tickets at givingvoicefdn.org. So everybody, meet Christian Gosvick. All right, so you're from Cincinnati, well, like Fort Thomas area.
Yeah, I grew up across the river.
But now I read that you are an Eastsider.
I am. I live in Oakley.
Welcome to the dark side. Oh, yes. So you don't live far from here then.
Yeah, and we're in the Oakley room today.
Yeah, we are. Oh my gosh. Well, great. It's all meant to be. But so I'm excited to meet you and excited to have you on because I'm Mimosas and Memories I'm going to with Molly Watson. Now, her and I, like, received the press release, and she said, I said to her, like, do you want to go to this event? And she was like, I've always wanted to go. Yes.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
Bottomless mimosas.
Yes. Amen to that. Yeah. Can I wear a hat? It's at the University Club, right?
Yep.
Yes. I don't think I've ever been to the University Club. That's different than the Cincinnati Club.
Correct? It is. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it on 4th? Is down closer to the...
4th and Broadway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of old mansion.
Yes, I always wanted to go. All right, so now I'm just all over the place. But so you are a physician here in Cincinnati, and so you're from Fort Thomas.
Yep.
And then you went to school at UC.
I went to undergrad at Xavier and then med school at UC.
Oh, nice. Did you like your experience with that, all of that?
Yeah, Xavier was great. Med school was, you know, it was med school, but we got through.
Yeah. And so you've been practicing now for like 10 years or so?
No. I finished med school in 2017. So.
Oh, gotcha.
Yep.
Well, welcome. I started this job in 2017.
Awesome.
So I'm on that journey. Okay, great. It's enough time.
Yeah.
You start to feel like you know what you're doing?
I feel like I'm very comfortable.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like it took me years to figure out how comfortable I am in this position.
Forever learning process, that's for sure.
Right. And what do you specialize in your medicine practice?
So I have two main passions, LGBTQ healthcare, and then I also do geriatric care.
Amen to both. You know, before, like, knowing all this about you, those are two of my really strong passions as well.
Yeah.
So tell us why you wanted to get into LGBTQ.
So, growing up, I kind of went through the process that many from our community do of, you know, figuring out about yourself and learning about yourself and then eventually coming out. And I think through that process, realized how important it was to see yourself in other people and have good role models in that community. And so that was part of it. We could talk a lot about why I think physicians are underrepresented in LGBTQ healthcare and why having a primary care physician from the community is really important. So I think those have been big drivers too.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I never thought about it until it was articulated. Something that I read about you, like, you know, representation is huge. You want to go to someone who is like you and who understands you.
Yeah.
And I haven't thought about that, but I like to go to only women.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like the same thing. I just don't trust men. I'm like, you don't have a vagina. You don't know what it's like.
How could you know? Yeah.
You don't know what it's like. Shut up. I'm like, oh, man, that makes so much sense. And now tell me about geriatric care. I find this to be really fascinating because I don't think there's really anyone really talking about, or someone as young as you, what, you're 31, 32?
Yep.
And someone starting out their career into geriatric care.
Yeah, it is definitely not the sexy choice, I don't think. You know, when people are like, surgery, cardiology, dermatology, how about geriatrics? So
when you think about it, though, it is recession-proof, though. We all...
It is. Everyone's aging.
Everyone
is aging. I think it came from early experiences. So I worked in a nursing home as a teenager. And just being around that population, I think, opens your eyes to a lot of things that they face and kind of put that on the radar for me.
It's kind of... So what... Nursing home did you work in? So you're from the area?
So I worked at the Barrington in Fort Thomas. It was an assisted living and independent living facility. Worked mostly kind of in the dining room kitchen with the residents when they were down for meals and things, and just got to be a part of their daily lives, which was super interesting.
What are some of the things that really struck out to you that you thought areas that needed help?
Areas that needed help. I would say just people that are willing to sit down and listen with older folks. I think a lot of times, for one, they enjoy being able to tell their story. And I think that that's the kind of really awesome thing about seeing older adults is just hearing their story, hearing about Cincinnati from the past or the world from the past, and realizing that these people have decades of life, that they have stories and experiences and wisdom to share. And I think a lot of times, especially in healthcare, which has gotten very fast paced, there isn't that time to sit down and do that. And I think knowing those things about someone is super important to being able to provide good care to them. So I think myself and my colleagues that are in geriatrics, I think that's kind of a big piece of it, is just the patience and the willingness and the interest to kind of sit down and listen to people, and then use that to inform how we take care of them.
Wow. That's a great way to put it. I feel like it's easy to understand. And this, do you have any advice for someone? I feel like there are so many people who are a little bit scared of geriatric care, as I am as well. When I was younger, I would volunteer at old folks' homes, and my grandma lived at one.
Yeah.
Shout out Western Hills Retirement Community. She was, I think, the oldest and the longest resident to ever live there. She's holding double record holder there. She was there for like 25 years. And I didn't really like going. I didn't like the way that it smelled. I didn't like, it was sad to me and maybe frustrating. And I didn't like the experience as a kid. And I feel like that's maybe the common understanding.
Yeah, I think most people are a little bit intimidated by the kind of setting of a nursing home.
No, it's so sad. Yeah.
It is. Because I think there's really neat stuff going on in there. And if you can kind of get past some of your own stress and anxiety and realize that the folks in there have interesting things to say and have interesting life stories, and I think are much more than maybe what they might appear on the surface. And I think a good question for me that I ask folks a lot of times when it seems like it's hard to kind of get a conversation going in that setting is just, you know, tell me about what it was like growing up when you were a kid. And most people have interesting stories from their childhood. Those generations, I think, in general, enjoy sharing those stories. In folks who have cognitive or memory disorders, usually those distant memories are still intact. So it's a good way to connect with people and usually get a really good story out of it, too.
Well, speaking of cognitive and like memory disorders, so you and your partner started this foundation and this event, Mimosas for Memories, which is coming up here.
Yeah.
And it is benefiting those living with Alzheimer's and dementia and diseases of the like and their caregivers.
Yep, that's
right. Who was like the big inspiration for this?
So it's all back in 2016, we started Mimosas for Memories just as a fundraiser for Alzheimer's. And kind of at that time, we're really just focused on that. And the event has sort of grown year over year from then. We added Cincy Brews for Brains in the fall with Braxton Brewery a couple years later. And then I think really realized around 2018 or 2019 that there was a huge need for more programming in the community. And so things to reach folks with these diseases and their caregivers. And though research is super important, finding a cure for Alzheimer's is super important and something that I'm very passionate about, there are people that are living with the disease right now and their caregivers are going through this journey with them right now. And so my passion has always really been with those folks and the people that are walking through it now. And so that's really kind of what inspired the Giving Voice Foundation.
Okay, the Giving Voice Foundation is the foundation that you and your partner Cody started.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
By the way, you're giving back so much.
Thank you.
And the specifics that you just talked about. So caregiving is incredibly difficult. I think it's the hardest job. I've had like 65 jobs. And if you want to count caregiving, it's the 66th. And it's the hardest one I've ever done.
Yep.
Caregiving for my mother, which is not even, I haven't even done it that much. But even just like she would come stay with me for a month at a time and like getting her in and out of the bathroom and then seeing like her realize that she is losing control and then being there for her through it is like, those are the moments that are so hard. Like, we'll joke about how, like, one time, like, her butt hit me in the face the first time I got her into the bathtub, you know, and like helping her put her pants on. And then like watching her cry that she can't put her own pants on anymore. Like, it's so hard. And if you are, but like, but it's an harder for me personally, because like it's my mom's, but not all, every caregiver is related, but it is like, it is the most emotionally taxing thing in the world. And there's so many things that you need, so many services. If you're not into it, you don't realize how many services you need. If anything, it's given me the most advice and experience and how to set myself up for success when I get older. So what kind of things, all of this is like, so what kind of services and instruments are you providing or helping caregivers and the acting?
Yeah.
Like in real time.
So our mission has really centered around connection. So we have viewed that it's very important for caregivers to be able to connect with one another, but also the people living with these diseases.
Yeah.
And I think as a caregiver yourself, as anyone who's been in that position, you realize the isolation that comes with it,
mm-hmm.
Both in, you know, the isolation for the caregiver from their social network, their friends, and then the isolation that comes with cognitive changes that we see in dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And so our programming's really kind of been focused on getting people together in a space where they can interact in a comfortable and safe way, and where their caregivers can then also interact with one another, get the support that they need, learn about how they can best engage with their loved one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a big part of it. And that's Creative Connections. That is our weekly program. That's really what's going on at that each week. And then what you mentioned about resources and kind of knowing what's out there, knowing what you need, I'd say our second biggest program is our Purposeful Planning program.
Okay.
And through that, we help connect people with the resources that they need in the community. And that's, both of those are free services that we support through events like Mimosas for Memories.
Oh, wow. This is fantastic. And so where, hold on, I'm like, so can people find more about these through your website?
Yep. So our website has all of the different programs that we run. We have others like a caregiver writing workshop. We have a caregiver writing journal that we produce, a respite program, kind of all kinds of stuff, but it's all on the website.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what specifically made you want to lean in more towards Alzheimer's and dementia?
I think that when I was a teenager and was working in the assisted living and nursing home setting, seeing people walk through that disease and knowing them kind of before, during, and then in those more severe stages, it just has always been a disease that has struck me as so tragic, because it, I think it steals away those stories that are so intriguing about older adults.
Yeah.
And though they remain as the person that they've always been, I think the families struggle with that kind of loss of their story and loss of their history. And so it's also a disease where the caregiver and the person living with the disease are both so affected. And I think you could say that about cancer or anything else, but it's just in such a unique way that folks, I think, end up in these complex situations. And I tell everyone, I think everyone is different. Every caregiver relationship with the person living with disease is different. Every patient with Alzheimer's or dementia is different. These are all just, it's so complex. It's so nuanced. And I think that at the end of the day, medically, we don't have that much to offer. And so it's this other stuff. It's the support. It's the connection. It's the social interaction. It's the resources in the community. That's what is able to lift people up to get through this. And so I think that that is why I've always felt really excited about making those things happen.
Which is so true, really. Like, through the power of connection, I feel like you can really do anything. And
that
it is
true.
A superpower.
Yeah.
Which I love how you really highlight the power of community and the power of connection and making, mm-hmm. and like your main purpose all about community and connection. Like, for instance, like my mom, again, like when she came to stay with me, she was living with her sister, and then during, we quarantined together. And I'm telling you, she went back 5 years, and it was like she wasn't even sick at all.
Yeah.
She was like a whole different person. And we had so much fun, and it was fantastic. But like, I wish that could last forever, but like, it wasn't, like, it's not a lifetime deal.
Yeah.
So this is just fantastic. Okay, so tell us more about this specific event of Mimosas for Memories. So what are like the basics?
So it's our biggest fundraiser of the year. We're hosting it at the University Club this year on April 30th. Mm-hmm. It is, most importantly, Bottomless Mimosas, Brunch by the Bite. We do a silent auction with date night packages that are usually really fun. We have kind of the red carpet photo booth set up. This year we have a magician coming, which I always find really fun, kind of wander around and do interesting tricks.
Yeah.
It's a fun time. I think people like it because it's more of a mix and mingle event and less of a sit down and listen to a speech kind of event.
Yes, that's really important.
Yeah.
Like, I would say how many events, all those events are great, but this one sounds like a really great, refreshing time. Have you met any people along this journey or anyone in specific or any stories specifically that are highlighted in your mind, like revolving Alzheimer's or dementia?
Oh my gosh. There's probably lots over the years. I think the folks I've met at our Creative Connections program have been just, it is hard to describe what it's like to be there and see all of these people in a room together who I think often don't spend a lot of time with other people.
Yeah.
And so just having folks come up to me there and kind of talk about their experience with the program, I think those are memories that always stick with me. I mean, in my work as a physician, I feel like I've, you know, sat down in the room with lots of people and talked through these things. And I think those are all kind of good memories.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a really patient man.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is
sometimes
really, really beautiful. Do you know where any of this inspiration has come from? You think just from working in this in a home when you were younger?
I think everyone I've met who is passionate about geriatrics or works in this space, I feel like has had some younger experience with older adults.
Yeah.
And I think that that's got to be a huge driver. But I think it's personality, too. I think, you know, you do kind of have to be someone who's willing to sit down and let someone take their time telling a story. And that's just not everybody's personality.
No, that's true. Oh, you're so great. So what is your life like here in Cincinnati? So you work in Oakley and you live in Oakley, you know. Do you and your partner have dogs or do you have any kids or do you have plants? I saw that you're a plant dad. I love that you say that. I had to call myself a plant mom. I was up to 80 plus plants there for a while.
Ooh, I think my husband keeps a close count because I'm on a tight leash with the plants. I think we're at 36 or 37.
Oh, but, nice.
Not 80 or 90, but yeah, we live in Oakley, very close to my practice and to the nursing home that I work at, which I love. And we do not have any kids or pets. We enjoy travel a lot, and the plants are much easier to leave behind.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what was like the latest trip you went on?
We do. So we're going to Key West for Memorial Day, and then Palm Springs is sort of our favorite spot. So we always retreat there after the event for a little refresher.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I haven't been. Let's see. Palm Springs just reminds me of Coachella. I used to go there back in the day a lot when I was younger, and now not anymore. So Palm Springs is beautiful, like Joshua Tree area.
Yeah.
So I've never been to Key West either. Have you ever been to Fantasy Fest?
I have heard of it. We've never been to Key West either.
Really? Oh, my God. We'll have so much fun. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That sounds like such a blast. I'm going to write that down on my thing. Key West. We'll have a freaking blast. And through like so your husband, Cody, so is he as involved in the foundation as well? Is that kind of, because this is like, you guys do a lot.
Yeah.
This is like a bit,
It is a team commitment, that is for sure. So we started the event together when I was in medical school in 2016, and he's been there the whole way. I think, you know, it overlaps with my professional world as well, so I think definitely that pulls me in a little bit more, but he is kind of the sometimes behind the scenes, super supportive spouse, does all of our financials and things like that. So,
oh, nice. That's very important.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like a very dynamic duo there.
Yeah.
Like the best of both worlds. Yep. Right. Okay, so what do you recommend that people should wear to Mimosas for Memories coming up here on April 30th?
So I feel like attire has gotten super confusing lately, and I don't know what people want to call it, but I always say wear your best Sunday brunch attire, whatever that is to you.
Okay.
There's no dress code. People usually dress a little bit nice, but it doesn't matter.
All right, I'm thinking like derby type stuff.
Yeah, that might be a good way to describe it around here.
A little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'll write that down because I'm also going to the Derby. Don't have an outfit for that yet either.
You could double up, and I've definitely seen some hats at Mimosas. So.
Really? That's what I saw on the website. Yeah. There are definitely some hats. Okay. Maybe Molly, maybe I'll try to get her to wear a matching outfit with me because I've always wanted to do
that. That seems like a good idea.
That sounds fantastic. She is blonde as well. We look like sisters as it is, so that would be fantastic. Christian, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks
and for everything
me.
That you're doing for the Cincinnati community. And if you ever want to come back and talk about like your other passions in the LGBTQ community, that would be fantastic as well.
Anytime.
Let's see, like Pride is coming up in June.
That's true.
So excited to have it back.
I know. It's been 2 years.
Oh my gosh. So are you involved this year? Or what is your stance in it?
Yeah. So Christ Hospital's involved in the Pride pre-party. So mm-hmm. I'll be sort of involved from that standpoint. And then we'll be there all weekend.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Well, I hope to see you there, as will I be on different facilities, however you want to say it, in different avenues, whatnot. I'm not sure Q has, like, the strong, I don't know exactly what our presence is, but I'm going with, like, a lot of different other stuff being involved this year.
It doesn't matter. It's a fun time.
It is. I'm very excited it's back. Thank you so much, man. And I will see Mimosas for Memories.
Yeah. See you there.
Be honest. Are you completely obsessed with your shoes? Have you been known to talk about your shoes to friends, family, and people in line at the grocery store? If not, then you probably don't have Rothy's. Because when you have shoes that are comfortable, washable, and come in tons of styles and colorways, obsession is basically mandatory. Just ask the millions of women who wear Rothy's every single day. You may have heard of the Point and the Flat from Rothy's, but they also make insanely comfortable sneakers, loafers, ankle boots, and more. Plus, every single Rothy's product is made with sustainable materials, like plastic water bottles and marine plastic. So not only are they comfortable, washable, wear-everywhere shoes that look great on your feet, they're great for the planet, too. Step up your shoes and accessories this spring and get ready to be asked, "Are those Rothy's?" And for a limited time, you can get $20 off your first purchase when you go to rothys.com/comfort. That's $20 off at rothys.com/comfort.
Grab a 30-day free trial of Live by Live Plus, and you'll get unlimited skips, commercial-free music, and all of the podcasts and live streaming events you can handle. Visit livexlive.com/podcast1 to learn more and start your free trial.